Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today we are going to be talking with Liz Dallimore. She's the CEO of Argenica Therapeutics. ASX code will be AGN. And I say will be because as I speak to Liz today, they are days away from listing on the ASX. They are doing clinical trials into a neuroprotectant drug, which is all about protecting cells from degeneration with strokes. But Liz is going to tell us all about that. But as I say, the ASX code will be AGN, listing any moment now. Liz, thanks for joining us on Small Caps today. Good to see you.
Thanks, Kerry. Thanks for having me.
Now, Liz, you've spent over 20 years in this sort of space, the biotech space, if you like. I would love to know, first of all, I guess, tell us a little bit about Argenica, and then I want to know what attracted you to this company.
Yeah, sure. So Argenica Therapeutics is developing a novel neuroprotectant therapeutic. So the company was incorporated in November 2019 to enable the commercialization of this drug. So the drug is ARG-007. That is our lead candidate, and it has come.
I had to laugh. ARG-007. Everybody will have to invest in it. It's 007.
Yes, of course. It has come out of two leading Perth-based research institutions. So one being the University of Western Australia, and the other being the Perrin Institute for Neurological and Translational Science, and led by Professor Bruno Maloney, who is a world-class researcher in stroke. So the company has over 6 years of preclinical data on this drug, which is really exciting data, which we can talk about in a little bit. But so the company was really sort of a spin out of these two research institutes. So why do I like it? My background is actually in neuroscience. So I worked as a neuroscientist, and I worked in stroke research actually at that Perrin Research Institute 20 years ago. So I was looking at neuroplasticity, so the way that the brain can change following a stroke. And then I moved into neuroplasticity more broadly in the central nervous system and regeneration. So I love that I've, I think, sort of come full circle. I spent 15 years working in management consulting in three of the big four. Didn't quite make the fourth, but I just love this story. Stroke has such a huge unmet clinical need. We are desperate for drugs. There's only currently one drug on the market as a stroke therapy, and that's really, you know, it's looking at dissolving the blood clot. So there's nothing else actually available for patients with stroke, which is crazy because you think about how big that market is and how many people.
How big is the market? Just remind our listeners, how big is the stroke market?
The way that I like to present it is, so in the US alone, someone has a stroke every 40 seconds. So, you know, that's, which is huge. And in Australia, 100 people have a stroke every single day. So the number of people suffering stroke is enormous. And then the actual burden on the healthcare system, you know, receiving drugs, and then also the rehabilitation and days lost at work. So the economic impact is in the order of around $50 billion a year, and that's in the US alone. So it's a massive unmet clinical need, and a lot of, you know,
Why has it been so unmet? Because there's plenty of drugs around, and there's drugs for this, that, and the other. And why is it taking so long? Number one, and number two. Can we just dive into exactly what Argenica are doing in terms of the stroke area? Like, what is it that your drug does? Why is there so little on the market?
So If I just explain, the one drug on the market is a drug that dissolves the clot, which is the cause of an ischemic stroke. So what we're looking to do is to develop what's known as a neuroprotective therapeutic, as you sort of mentioned in the opening, which is a drug that protects brain cells. So there have been a lot of companies that have tried to develop a neuroprotection therapeutic, and they've failed at clinical trials. And there's a raft of a number of reasons why they have failed. So largely because those drugs worked on only a single mechanism of action. So they were only targeting one part of that cell death pathway that happens in the brain. So what's sort of happened now is that pharmaceutical companies, industry regulators and academics have all come together, looked at all those drugs that have failed previously and said, okay, we need to make it better. So we need to make preclinical research more robust so that we're only taking the drugs that have the highest potential into the clinic. And we need to also make sure that these drugs that we're taking into the clinic have what we call plurifunctional mechanisms of action. So they're working on the cell death pathway at a number of different points along that pathway. Okay. So our drug, ARG-007, does work on multiple different parts of that pathway. And we've also got that extensive preclinical body of work in really strong animal models of stroke that's allowing us to take it to the next stage. So everyone's kind of come together and said, okay, we've failed so much in the past, let's mm-hmm. make it more robust and let's find those therapeutics that we can actually take into the clinic and then take into the patient. So that's what we believe that our drug does. So it ticks all those boxes that are required.
So you said before that a lot of people have tried and failed at clinical trial, but that's because they're only targeting one bit. You're targeting each of the death cell,
yeah.
cell moments, death, I guess.
But
what I want to know is, where are you in terms of, because you've just recently raised $7 million, you're about to list, so you've got the money. What are you going to do with that money? And why are you confident that your drug is going to pass that sort of clinical trial moment?
Sure. So we are at the stage of just building up some toxicology and safety data, which will feed into our phase one clinical trial. So to take a drug through to market, you have to have a good body of preclinical evidence. So that's done in animal models, it's done in petri dishes, a whole raft of things to show that drug is actually doing what you need it to do. So then you move into looking at safety and toxicology before you then move into your phase one clinical trial. So the $7 million will get us to the end of a phase one clinical trial. Okay. A phase one clinical trial is where we test the safety of our drug in healthy subjects. So just making sure that the dose that we're administering is safe, there's no adverse side effects, and it's all good to go.
So are you administering that drug, sorry to interrupt you, Liz, that drug on people that have had a stroke? Is that?
No, so healthy subjects first.
Right, okay.
So all phase one clinical trials are done in healthy subjects. So that's just to show the safety of the drug. But as I said, we've already got quite a lot of preclinical safety data, so we can't imagine having any issues with that. And then we will move on to a phase two trial, which is where we will move that into patients that have had a stroke.
And what timeline are we looking at with that sort of phase one, phase two?
Yeah, so we hope to initiate the phase one trial by the end of this calendar year, and then we'll have preliminary data from that trial sort of early calendar year next year. And then by the end of quarter two, early quarter three, calendar year again next year, we should have that final phase one data available, which will show us that our drug is safe in healthy subjects.
Liz, talk to me about competitors out there. Yeah. Who else is doing what you guys are doing?
Yeah, look, given, you know, that it's a huge unmet clinical need, there are a number of people trying to find neuroprotectants. So essentially what a neuroprotectant does, if I just sort of step back a bit, is that it's trying to preserve brain cells in patients that have undergone a stroke and giving them time to get to hospital to have the treatments that they require. So
that's the key issue, isn't it? Because you've got critical time. And what and then I've been told that then up to 4 hours there's another little window. But that first hour, is your drug, you know, assuming it all goes according to plan, are you saying that it would go into the field? In other words, a first responder would go with your drug. As soon as somebody has a stroke, they give them the drug, which stops the death cells, the cells dying, and therefore the potential issues that are related with stroke. Is that correct?
Exactly. So what currently happens at the moment is that when a paramedic arrives to someone that's having a potential stroke, all they can really do is get them to hospital as soon as possible. So there's two main types of stroke that someone has. So either a hemorrhagic stroke, which is a bleed on the brain, or an ischemic stroke, which is a oxygen deprivation, which is generally caused by a clot in a blood vessel. So you have to make sure that you know what type of stroke a patient has had. 85% of people that have a stroke generally have an ischemic stroke, so the blood clot. So they need to go into hospital, they need to have a CT scan to determine not only the location of the clot, but you know, what type of stroke that they've had. And the reason this is so important to diagnose a type of stroke is because the treatments are different for hemorrhagic stroke and ischemic stroke. So for an ischemic stroke, the whole treatment modality is really to remove the clot itself. So this can either be done by an interventional radiologist doing a mechanical thrombectomy, which is a mechanical removal of the clot through surgery. But only around 9% of patients are actually eligible for that. So depending on a raft of things. The other treatment is thrombolysis, which is a drug which dissolves the clot. But that treatment has a very short time window. So ideally, you want patients to have been diagnosed with the type of stroke and being prepped for that drug within about 3 to 4 hours post-stroke. So if you think about people coming from rural areas, having to call rural flying doctor service, getting into a specialised stroke healthcare or hospital, it can actually, those time windows can really blow out. So what our drug is trying to do is to stop the amount of cell death that is happening at the onset of stroke. So not only does this protect brain cells, so allowing for greater functional recovery post-stroke, but it also increases the time window that a patient can be eligible for that thrombolysis, that clot dissolving drug as well.
Are you doing anything? You mentioned earlier in our chat that the US has got, I mean, the market over in the US is massive. Are you getting any support from the US? Are there, I don't know, people over there that are looking at what you're doing with great interest? Because it sounds to me like it's quite a step forward.
Yeah, so I guess the scientific community is very much a global community. So all the data from our preclinical work is published. You mentioned competitors before. So probably our main competitor is a Canadian company called Nono, and they have a similar drug called NA1, which is similar in that it is an arginine-rich peptide, which our drug is also an arginine-rich peptide. So they're in phase 3 clinical trials at the moment, and there has been interest, I guess, both ways to sort of see what we're both doing. But our chief scientific officer, Bruno Maloney, who's been working with this drug for the last 6 years, has presented it at US conferences and the like. So we will, when we move into larger scale clinical trials, we will engage in the US to engage clinical trial sites to undertake our phase three clinical trial work over there.
As an investor, I'm thinking to myself, well, is there room for two? And if NoNo are in stage three clinical trials and you're coming up to stage one, why, as an investor, would I go with Argenica Therapeutics? Why wouldn't I look at NoNo?
Yeah, sure. So it's a huge market, right? So there's always room for two, and that, you know, that's quite typical in a pharmaceutical type of industry. If you think about, you know, drugs that are currently on the market, you know, to treat a single indication of something, you know, if you take diabetes or asthma or, you know, any of those sort of standard medications, you know, there's different types of drugs. So yes, absolutely, always room for two. But I guess then it's the performance of the drug as well. So we have compared our drug against NoNo's NA1, and we have shown that in preclinical studies, our drug actually reduces the amount of cell death significantly more than NA1.
Wow.
Additionally, their phase three data has shown some adverse reactions with that thrombolysis drug, that blood clotting drug. So they're not seeing any benefit of their drug when a patient is also administered with that thrombolytic drug. Whereas we have done that work in preclinical studies, and we have shown that there's no interaction between our drug and that thrombolytic drug. So that's another really exciting area. So we do believe that our drug is superior to NA1 and definitely worth an investment.
Well, with ARG007, of course it is.
Yeah.
Now, Liz, I have to ask you this question. Why do you think you're about to list on the ASX? You're listing at 20 cents. It's a market cap of what, 14 mil?
14, yeah, just over 14, yeah.
Just over 14 mil. We've got an investor audience out there listening to you right now. Why do you think that they should be sitting up looking at ASX code AGN and investing in what you're doing?
Sure. So it's a really exciting time for the company. So moving into phase one clinical trials and setting up for our phase two clinical trial, you know, even though it sounds like it's quite early stage, it's actually not for drug development. So getting into the clinic is a really significant milestone for the drug development process. And it's come off the back of, you know, over 6 years of really exciting preclinical research. So it's a fantastic time for this company. You know, over the next sort of 2-3 years, it's going to be really exciting to see all our clinical data coming through. But the other exciting thing is the preclinical data that we have in other indications. So specifically traumatic brain injury, which is concussions. And so in perinatal hypoxia, which is oxygen deprivation during childbirth, which is actually one of the leading causes of childhood mortality globally. So we've got really exciting preclinical data in those two indications. We have reserved use of funds from our IPO to look at generating more preclinical data in those two indications. So we've got a drug that's going into clinic, which is fantastic, and also preclinical data coming through, which is really exciting, and in two indications which have huge global markets and unmet needs as well. So where we're positioned at the moment, it's really exciting. We're going to get some really exciting data coming through over the next sort of 12 months to 2 years. So watch this space.
Just want to be really clear here that getting into that clinical trial, that's actually a big deal. For those that don't really understand, there's a lot of work that's gone behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
And to get to clinical trial, that's the big deal.
It is the big deal. So when we can do that, and we're all on track to do that, as I said, by the end of this calendar year, and start generating that safety data, then that is game changer.
And I'd liken your drug, I guess, because you mentioned before that it hits lots of different areas of degradation of the cell. So could I say that there's lots of athletes out there, but there's only one triathlete, and that would be what Argenica are doing. Would that be?
Absolutely. That's a very good analogy, Kerry. Yes. So we have that multiple mechanism of action. We are good at a number of different things and leading the race on them. So absolutely great analogy.
Well, what a great way to finish then. Liz Dalymore, CEO of Argenica Therapeutics. As I said right at the start, the ASX code will be AGN. Look for it in a couple of, it's any day now, ladies and gentlemen.
Any day, yes.
Liz, we'll look forward to following how the clinical trial goes, but thanks so much for joining us on Small Caps today.
Thanks so much for having me, Kerry.